Welcome to Uncharted Entrepreneurship, your front row seat to daring stories from the boldest business trailblazers forging new paths across industries. I'm your host, Brent Peterson, armed with inside access, sitting down with partners, founders, and CEOs in the entrepreneurial world. Let's explore. This May 9th, 2024, ignite your entrepreneurial spirit at the Entrepreneurs Rally, a day where vision meets action in the heart of Minnesota. Join us at the JW Marriott for an unparalleled gathering of minds. Witness NBA legend and business maven Bill Walton share his journey from the basketball court to the boardroom. Be inspired by Candace Mama, Vogue Paris' most inspiring woman, as she unpacks the power of forgiveness and leadership. From the opening coffee to the closing VIP reception, the Entrepreneurs Rally is your arena to connect, learn, and grow. With over 500 entrepreneurs, industry leaders, and experts, it's more than an event. It's a catalyst for your next big leap. Whether you're looking to deepen your knowledge in sales, finance, marketing, or operations, or to ignite your passion and meet like-minded individuals, this is where your journey accelerates. Don't miss out on this extraordinary learning, networking, and inspiration day. Reserve your spot now for the Entrepreneurs Rally. Go to entrepreneursrally.org. The Entrepreneurs Rally. This May 9th, 2024, at the Mall of America. That's entrepreneursrally.org, where dreams meet drive. See you there.
Welcome to this episode. Today I have Brian Clayton. He is the founder of GreenPal. Brian, go ahead, introduce yourself. Tell us your day-to-day role, maybe one of your passions in life.
Awesome. Well, thanks for having me on your show, Brent. It's great to be here. I am CEO, co-founder of GreenPal. GreenPal is an online marketplace. It's an app that works like Instacart or DoorDash or Uber, but for lawn care services. So if you need to get grass cutting done, rather than calling all over the place, you just download GreenPal, pop your address in, and somebody comes and takes care of it for you. GreenPal is a 10-year overnight success. My co-founders and I have been at this for a little over a decade, and now we're nationwide in the United States with several hundred thousand people using the app to get their lawn mowed.
That's awesome. And passions? Any passions in life?
You know, I've been an entrepreneur for 22 years, and I've never had a job. I've always been in business for myself. And I think one of my passions is building a business that helps customers, that is profitable, that is prospering, that is winning. That's a passion of mine. And that's, you know, when before GreenPal, I had a landscaping business that I built up over a 15-year period of time, and it was acquired by a national company. And after that, I tried to quit. I tried to stop business building. I tried to go lay on a beach, and I realized that one of my passions was entrepreneurship. And so that's what's kept me going through some of the challenging parts of the journey.
That's awesome. So I do want to touch on a couple of points. I do want to talk about your growth from being a blue-collar entrepreneur to a tech entrepreneur, which is super fascinating for me. Then I would like to talk about some time off and how you've dealt with that. I did an exit a couple years ago, and I actually worked for the business for a couple years, which I think was 24 months too long. So I agree with you. Then maybe we can kind of close it out with some ideas around your app and I think it's a fantastic idea. So start off with sort of that I'm not going to say struggle, but when you go from being the person who's doing the lawn mowing or just making sure that the lawns are getting mowed to being a tech person, what were some of the struggles in that?
It was a lot harder than I thought it was going to be. So when I had a landscaping business that I built from just me and a push mower to 150 people, like 90 trucks going out every day, and eventually around $10 million a year in revenue. So it was a pretty big business. And when it was acquired, it took like 2 years to get it sold, and it was really challenging. And after I did all that, I thought, man, that was really hard. I don't ever want to do that again. And I thought I knew everything there was to know about building a business. And I thought, well, after getting bored, not having a mission anymore in life, and I thought, well, I'm going to get back in the game. I need a project. I need something to like pour my life's soul, my energy into. And so I thought, well, I don't want to start another business again like I had, because that was really tough. I want to start an easy business. I want to start a software business, because that'll be so much easier. And man, I didn't know what I didn't know. I was quickly confronted with the reality that it's 100 times harder. and the thing that nobody told me is that when you're starting a tech company, you're usually inventing something brand new from scratch that does not exist. And that's a lot harder than just a traditional business. You know, you can start a construction company, a landscaping company like I had, a home cleaning business, dry cleaner, restaurant, whatever. Those businesses are hard, but you're executing a known game plan. You're basically rolling up your sleeves and out competing your competitors, and you're just working your butt off trying to hustle a business together. Well, if you're starting a tech company, usually you're inventing a new product, a new way of doing things. And nobody knows about it. Nobody knows to use it. Nobody knows how to use it. And so that's all a lot harder. There is no game plan. There is no roadmap. You just go from like failure to failure trying to figure out how to make it work. And that was the thing that I didn't know. And so it was a lot more challenging. I thought the hard part was going to be executing on the technology, you know, writing the software. And while that was hard, the hard part is getting people to know about it, getting people to use it, and making people happy with your product, and understanding how to build a product that does that was challenging.
Yeah, that's a great description. And I guess I've always been in the tech space, so I can't say I went from one space to another. But I do understand the challenges around finding the idea. So, you know, my story is that I did sell my company a couple of years ago, and it was hard for me to just come up with that idea. Talk about, what was it just natural for you to kind of go into the tech, the idea of this sort of app-based ordering of your lawn mowing?
That's the only thing I had going for myself, was that I was solving my own problem. I saw this problem every day running my landscaping company. And so here's the problem that I solved that I thought that technology needed to solve better. If you're a homeowner or you rent a home and you need to get a basic lawn mowing service, it's actually like pulling teeth to get somebody to come out and just do the chore for you. You wouldn't think it is, but it actually is a pain in the neck, because the companies you want to work with don't have any sort of online presence. They don't have a receptionist. It's really hard to get them on the phone. And then like the reality is nobody teaches any of us how to run a small business. And so then you as the consumer are kind of teaching these people how to run a business, what it means to show up on time, what it means to like bill the actual correct amount that you're supposed to get paid. Like these simple things make it difficult for a consumer to just get this chore done. And I knew that a platform could kind of modulate this whole experience from end to end and make it smoother and make it more seamless. And I saw this every day. My company, as we grew, no longer did residential services. We only did commercial services. So we did office parks, apartments, shopping centers, banks, things like that. But still, we would get 70 or 80 people a day call our front office begging us, like, hey, will you come out and mow our yard? And we would have to tell them that, you know, we don't do that, but we would try to be helpful still and refer them. Okay, here's four or five smaller providers that do. So in effect, we were kind of this connector service. And so when I sold the company, I thought, you know, an app should exist to solve that problem. The demand is there. People want to get this chore done. Their supply is there. The suppliers are begging for this work, but it's hard for them to be discovered. It's hard for them to build up a reputation and have that be accumulated in one place. And so I knew the problem was there. I knew technology could solve it. What I didn't know was how challenging it is to execute on building a marketplace that connects buyers and sellers at a local level. That was a lot harder than I thought it was going to be. And then what I came to find out when I started GreenPal was all of the reasons that make it difficult to hire a lawn care service. All of the reasons why it sucks to hire a grass cutting service to mow your yard are now my problem. I have to solve them as the platform kind of proprietor. And that took a long time, just going from one set of problems to the next and solving them.
Yeah, I have to believe that in this climate anyways, that it's harder to get the people to do the work than it is to find the people who need the work done. Is it just make it that much more difficult for you to go out and find, you're going to have to find vendors to be part of the ecosystem, right? So explain it about the back end part of it where you have to get enough providers to help people.
It's a great question. And so if you're building a marketplace like this, usually one side is harder to acquire to the platform than the other. So in Uber's case, there is no shortage of people wanting a $5 ride to a restaurant, but there is a shortage of people who are willing to give that ride. And so their side of the marketplace is harder to acquire riders or drivers. In our side, it's about 60-40 in terms of consumers are usually the harder to get to let them know about the platform and to acquire them. But vendors, it's hard acquiring good ones. And so there's no shortage of people who want to hustle up, you know, $100 a day mowing yards. But there is a shortage of people who take the business seriously, that know what it means to show up on time and do a good job. And so it's our platform's job to screen out the business owners that just aren't taking this business seriously and to promote the ones that are good. So if you get, you know, 10 vendors that sign up on GreenPal, usually one or two end up making the cut, so to speak, and end up doing well on the platform and end up pleasing people in such a way that they then get promoted on the platform. Usually we expel and demote 80 or 90% of suppliers who think they want to be in the lawn mowing business.
Yeah, that's interesting. So you don't have to tell us any secret internal sauce, but you know, I know in Uber they have a way of vetting drivers, and there's a way of giving feedback about drivers, a star system. But there's also a way of giving feedback for riders. And I actually heard of a rider who got kicked off of Uber because they had such low ratings. Is it similar in your industry, in this industry, that you have the customers who are giving feedback on the performance of the lawnmowers or of the vendors? And is there anything else that kind of fits into that from a performance standpoint?
Works very similarly. We have to do some vetting up front to make sure that they're a legit business, but that's only like 1% of it. The rest happens on the platform in terms of we're always measuring their performance. How often do they show up on the day they're supposed to and actually complete the transaction for the customer on the day that they requested it? And then we score that. We give them a reliability rating. And then we also measure how often do they get booked for a second, third, and fourth visit? Because in lawn mowing, you mow it today, it's still going to need it 7 or 8 days later. So if they did a good job, you're just going to naturally book them for the rest of the season. So we measure that. And then with those two metrics, we're able to discern, okay, these providers are solid. They're making a lot of people happy. These ones are not so good, so let's not show them as many opportunities. And these ones are terrible. Let's just sideline them from the platform. And we do that on a rolling basis every day, thousands of times, to figure out who's good and who's not. And then we also have your standard 5-star rating, and that helps. But really, the real valuable signals are tied to the transactions happening on the platform, and that's what makes our platform different than an Angie's List or Thumbtack or Home Advisor or even Craigslist or Facebook. There's no shortage of places you can go to get names and phone numbers, but then you don't really know if they're actually going to show up on time. You don't really know if they do a good job. I mean, maybe there's some stars to look at, but that's it. And so in order to really deliver an experience that's more reliable than the status quo, I think you have to capture that transaction and measure what's going on in the marketplace. It took us a long time to figure that out and to get that right, but that's what makes us different from the other ways people get this done.
Yeah, that's. Are you seeing pressure from now other companies that are kind of moving into your space and you're going to have to innovate more?
Luckily, I think the least glamorous and least sexy your industry and idea, the greater your chances of success, and the easier it will be in a weird way. So it's not like there was a hyper competitive dynamic between Uber and Lyft, and Uber eventually won because they raised more money and so on. Our industry is not like that. It's not like anybody's gonna pull the rug out from under us. Even though we're doing around $30 million a year in revenue, we're still like a drop in the bucket for how much lawns are, how much grass is getting cut, and how many lawns out there that are still getting mowed. It's a $99 billion industry in the United States, and so we got a lot of white space, a long way to go. And there's one other platform that operates similar to us, but not quite the same. But most everybody else has either been acquired or gone out of business in the last 10 years. Now coming out of 2013, 14, 15, there was a tidal wave of money that got thrown at Uber for X ideas. So there was Uber for home cleaning, Uber for laundry service, Uber for valet parking, you name it. And 9 out of 10 of those businesses went out of business because I think venture capital was like putting rocket fuel in a Toyota Camry. It just wasn't sustainable, and they flamed out pretty quick. That's one reason why we didn't raise venture capital. We kind of observed this going on, and we were like, we're just going to build a business that we can fund off of its own revenues.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit about yourself, and how has it been easier for you to move into this space because you don't have a lot of technical baggage. I'm assuming now you have some technical knowledge and baggage that you're kind of carrying forward, but has it been easier for you because you had a real raw understanding of the industry, and then you can just implement some of those things, and then you just looked for a technical solution to solve it?
It's a really good observation. On the one hand, I think Bill Gates once said, I would rather teach an engineer sales than teach a sales guy engineering. And so there's that. I think if you are an engineer, you are a builder. For you to go learn an industry, and I think that can be deadly. I was on the other side. I knew the industry. I knew sales. I knew the problems and solutions. I didn't know the engineering, so I had to learn the engineering. So I think that has helped me, because I think that authenticity can be a competitive advantage, and you can always like bring things back to a very simple, clear way of thinking. First principles thinking, like, what is the actual problem we're trying to solve here? And all of this other BS that's in the way, is irrelevant. And for us, it's really simple. I know what it's like to make a living in the lawn care business, and we focus on one thing, like, how do we make those people more money? How do we help them grow their business? How do we make their life easier? How do we get them more customers quicker? How do we solve problems in their daily life? Because I've experienced those problems. And then everything else from that point out takes care of itself. Customers get mowed on the day they're supposed to. They do a good job. There's like 5 bids in 60 seconds when they sign up. If we can make vendors more money, all of these other things take care of themselves. And so, because I lived the life of waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning and sharpening lawn mowing blades and scraping a lawnmower deck before the sun comes up, and then mowing grass all day until like 8:30 at night, coming home and just like passing out on the carpet in my living room because I was so tired, and I didn't want to do bookkeeping and invoicing and stuff. So I have the scars around that we're always able to orient around what we're working on around solving problems for that person. So I think for me, it has been helpful. But sometimes I wonder. Like, I still think maybe if you're a builder, you're an engineer, it can be easier to learn the sales and the business side.
I have to ask, because you mentioned white space, and I live in Minnesota, and you know where I'm going now, because we only have lawn mowing half the season, right?
Right.
And for the other half of the season, we have a very robust snow plowing industry that most of the lawn care businesses do in the winter, but it's obviously not as regular as mowing lawns. Do you have aspirations to grow maybe into places where we don't even see the grass for 3 or 4 months?
Totally.
our grass is covered in a couple inches of snow.
Totally. Yeah. It's a dynamic of the industry. It's very seasonal, especially up north. And so, we actually did bolt on snow removal about 2 years ago, and it was one of those things we did I thought, again, it was going to be pretty easy because, to your point, we have hundreds of contractors in your state that use the platform. But the business goes to zero after about October, November. And so they were coming to us like, look, you know, we're having trouble staying in business. We need something to fill the gaps. And why don't you get into snow plowing? They were telling us this. And I'm from Tennessee. And while I've done a little snow plowing, not a lot. And so I didn't know that business very well. And I thought, well, how hard can it be? We'll just, you know, we'll bolt it on and we'll just kind of build some other workflows and make it an ancillary service that homeowners can hire. And man, we've started to uncover that it's a totally separate, different business. And it took, like, what I thought was going to be 3 months took 2 years to build, like, basically a parallel platform that handles snow plowing that is coupled with GreenPal, where homeowners can hire snowplow contractors, snowplowing contractors can complete transactions and manage their schedule and so on. But they really are two different businesses, and it was a quick lesson in like focusing on the main thing and keeping the main thing, because it really did sidetrack us. You know, if I had to do it all over again, I don't know, I'd probably still do it, because it does keep our name in the press year round. You know, USA Today mentioned us last year, where it was like, you know, we got a big storm coming in. You can use GreenPal to push a button and get a snowplowing contractor. So that's great for the overall platform, and that's great for marketing. That's great for our user acquisition strategy. But we don't make a whole lot of money on it. It distracted us for 2 years building this thing out. So it's tough. It was a hard lesson in, like, your core competencies and not trying to go after every opportunity that might seem like a good opportunity. It was a painful lesson that I had to relearn.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really good illustration of what we call a shiny object in an entrepreneurial organization, or EOS. There's a concept of the shiny object, and it takes you away from your core.
Exactly.
I think in your case, this seems, especially for the northern businesses, they have to figure out either they're not going to work for half the winter, or they're going to do something different.
Totally.
Yeah. So that's such a great story. How about, has it been a challenge with employees? And I suppose for yourself, you don't have to worry about all those challenges anymore that a regular landscaper would have to deal with, right? You're really worrying, you're one step above that chain of labor that a lot of people are struggling with right now.
Well, our internal team is a little over 40 people, and so managing engineers, designers, content creators is very different than my former life of managing laborers and managers of laborers. It's a very two different worlds. You know, even though they're both businesses, they're really two different worlds. And so, to your point, one of the hardest challenges of running my first company, you know, to 150 people, was managing of that labor, the unit economics of what it costs to put that labor hour into the market, and how much you could charge and how much the overhead was, and keeping a margin there. Really, really tight business, very, very, very tight margins. And the managing of that labor is very risky. You're always prone to lawsuits and accidents and things like that. And then the turnover's high. You have to have a really good training program to get people up to speed. And so that was a really tough dynamic of running that kind of business. GreenPal is set up to help smaller providers, one man or woman operations. We have a lot of female-led companies, and maybe a helper or two. Your big companies that have 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 employees in the landscaping industry, they don't need another system. They don't need another process. They don't need another inbox. So they're not a good fit for GreenPal. Although we do have some providers doing over $1 million a year on the platform, the majority are your one-man bands, Peter in a pickup, Molly in a mower, and that's who we've built the platform for. So in a way, we kind of add more pressure onto the industry, in a sense of, if I'm a technician, why am I going to come and run a crew for a big landscaping company, or work on a crew making, you know, $18, $20, $25 an hour, when I can just go buy a $1,000 lawnmower, plug in the GreenPal, and make $100 an hour? And so we really want to help more people get into the business as sole proprietors and then connect them with homeowners that need their services very, very quickly and easily. Because as a homeowner, you want to work with that that proprietor. You want to work with the solo entrepreneur that is working for themselves, because they do a better job, they care more. You don't want to work for some, you don't want to hire some outfit that's got like 20 employees and you don't know, like they you know, they could have just gotten out of jail or something like that. And so that's what we're, how we're set up. And we're hoping to accelerate kind of that this shift in people working for themselves, people in the gig economy, people being having more agency over their life. We're hoping to accelerate that trend in some little way in this industry.
I just want to make one comment on timing. And it seemed like every time I would do a podcast and the windows are open is exactly when the lawn care people would show up with their power blowers right outside the windows. There must be some connection that they make with that, and they just know, oh, this guy's doing a podcast. Let's make sure we show up with the power blowers right now.
We always know. Let me sing you the song of our people.
Brian, as I close out, I give everybody an opportunity to do a shameless plug about whatever you'd like. What would you like to plug today?
You know, anybody out there hustling up their business, building other business, you don't have time to mow your yard. So just go to GreenPal and you'll get free quotes and hire somebody to take care of it for you.
Yeah, and I have to say that I just love this solution. And I do like what you said earlier about targeting that solopreneur, because I do feel as though, especially in this business, and I've never been in the lawn care business, but I have to imagine that it is difficult to run it on your own and also find customers. And it sort of jump starts the ability for a person, like you said, to get a mower or riding mower, whatever it is, and allow them to be in business quickly.
Exactly. That's why I get out of bed every morning. That's my passion.
That's awesome. Brian Clayton, founder of GreenPal, thank you so much for being here today.
Brent, thanks for having me on. I enjoyed it.
Uncharted Entrepreneurship is a production of Content Basis LLC. Copyright 2023. You can find more award-winning content at contentbasis.io. And that wraps up the latest edition of Uncharted Entrepreneurship, Bold Tales from Entrepreneurial Trailblazers. I'm your host, Brent Peterson, signing off after an incredible fireside chat with one of our intrepid trailblazing guests. Their firsthand perspective on conquering the unexplored wilds of business is just a taste of the rare wisdom you'll discover from pioneering entrepreneurs on this show. I also invite you to join me each week for insider commentary on the startup scene and digital marketing landscape on my Talk Commerce podcast. You can find Talk Commerce wherever you download podcasts or go to talk-commerce.com. I'd be grateful if you left a review and rating for Uncharted Entrepreneurship to help more bold founders find their way to game-changing insights that empower ventures to transform communities. This is your host, Brent Peterson, signing off for now. I'll see you around the virtual campfire next episode as we embark on another adventure into the great entrepreneurial unknown.